Thank you, Jesus. Somebody thank you, Jesus. Say that to Jesus. Will you please lift up your hand? Let's worship Jesus together. The reason we are gathered in this place today, let's appreciate him. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. Let's thank him. Let's give him all the glory due to him. No one can ever compare with him. He is King, he is Lord, forever and ever. Let's praise him. Thank you and thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have given thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because you gathered us together at your feet. Thank you also for our Father in the faith, your servant, whom you have used to gather us together as his children in the faith. Thank you for the likeness of heart he has demonstrated to all of us. And thank you for your great hand upon him the past 37 years. We give you all the glory for ever-growing impact, which has become inspiration and motivation to all of us gathered together in this place today. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you for the first word and for your servant you use tremendously to bless us this morning. Receive our thanks and for the word we are receiving now. Holy Spirit of God, take absolute charge. Speak to us the right words for this season in the name of Jesus. At the end of it all the glory shall return to you. And all the saints of God in the house say a loud amen. Will you please give Jesus a big hand as you take your seat? What a blessed day. I believe someone has been getting inspired to the glory and praise of our God. While the first word was going on, I was hoping and praying that the altar would not tear into two. By reason of the dynamic movement with great power and effect. And I thank God we have come to meet it the way it was left. Amen. I thank God for having somewhere to stand at this moment. Please give Jesus a big hand again for the beautiful word we received through Pastor Paul. This morning, I want to deeply, on this memorable day, the 37th year anniversary of this ministry. Count it a great privilege that God's servant has counted me worthy to be a servant to him the past 17 years of walking behind him, running despite times of mistakes, errors, yet not abandoned, not forsaken, not thrown away. I came to him as a raw believer. But today, by the grace of God, I've been fully or in the process of getting more refined. And I want to thank God for all the patience, the love, the open-heartedness, the lightness of heart that not only myself have received, but many of us. He's become to us a global father. And would like to appreciate God for his life and for his blessing. My humble story is that of one who has been made by following. That is my humble story. Simply made, not by struggle, not by expertise, but by following. And I thank God for having someone to follow. And please help me appreciate my Father this morning with a big hand unto the Lord. As we do that, we also appreciate our beloved mother for giving us room to reach out to him. You know, if a man's wife doesn't want you to come close, there's no method you can use. She has behaved to all of us as a wonderful mother, allowing us all of the time at her own expense to be with our Father. To God be the glory forever. Now, the teaching of this morning that I'm privileged to share with us drawn as lessons over the years from God's servant and from various avenues is sustaining impact in ministry by walking with God. By walking with God. And I want you to please thoughtfully follow with me as we share this. Today, people have made working for God their number one priority, as against walking with God. What gives value to working for God is walking with God. Maintaining a quality walk with God is one vital secret for sustaining impact in ministry. The deeper the walk, the greater the impact. Our effect in ministry is limited by our effectual walk with God. All great men in scriptures and in our time were men who walk first with God before working for God. As a matter of fact, our real calling is walking with God. Our assignment is ministry. Please get that right. Our number one call is into relationship with God. Our walk in the ministry is assignment. Now, unfortunately, many people place priority on the assignment than on the relationship. Most people pray to succeed in the ministry. I've never had time to pray that prayer in my life. I have never prayed once, "Oh Lord, make me succeed in ministry." But I prayed most of the time, "Father, make me succeed in your work, in my work with you." You cannot truly walk with God and not make impact in working for God in ministry. I've seen our father in the faith, most of the time, yearning to walk with God. And as a result, has never missed the impact and the touching of lives. Just as fruits draw from roots, your impact in ministry draws from your continuous connection to your caller in ministry. Many have received ministry and forgot about the one who gave them the ministry. This is the reason for the struggle in ministry today. But I can tell you, if you walk with God and the only thing you know to do is to cough, you will make impact. Moses was a stammerer, but the man who walked with God, his impact is unforgettable. Thousands of years after, walking with God, walking with God. Genesis chapter 17, look at this great sage in the faith that was called by God. And when Abraham was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am the Almighty God. You, the small man, walk before me and be thou perfect." That was the number one demand of God to Abraham. Walk before me. Walk with me. This must be our number one task in ministry. If you stop walking with God, then you should resign from working for God. If you stop working for God, with God, then you are no longer fit to work for God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And in verse 2, God said, in the process of your walk with me, I will make my covenant with you. Ministry, number one task in it is to maintain a walk with God in order to sustain our impact in ministry. Ministry is essentially a call to work for God, and that's why we refer to it as a work of ministry according to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. It can also be described as being used by God to carry out a particular task. But it will interest you to know from scriptures that just anyone and anything can be used by God. So, being in the work of the ministry is not an achievement as much as our walk with God. When God could not find anybody to use, he used an ass to talk to Balaam. So that you are a great preacher is not what determines your value in ministry. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 to 39, we saw how that God used the mouth of an ass to speak to Balaam. He lost his walk with God. He lost his ears to hearing from God. Jesus went further to say that even if there are no animals to use, stones can be used to praise him. Luke chapter 19 verse 40. He said, if there is nobody to praise me, I will raise up stones to begin to praise me, to work for me. God can use anyone or anything to work for him. He can use the moon, he can use the stars to fight on his behalf. So, being in ministry is not an achievement as much as our walking with God. And Jesus went further and said that there are people who preach on his behalf. When we get to heaven, he will tell them that he doesn't know them. So there are many preachers who will not enter into heaven. May none of us be one of such preachers. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22-23, Jesus said, some people will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, in your name we have preached. And we have done mighty works in your name, even casting out devils. And Jesus will say, well, I don't know you. I only answered because you used my name. You are a worker of iniquity. Get off my sight. May none of us be a castaway. But why is this as crucial? Why must our walk with God be given a higher priority? Even as we saw it in the life of Jesus, our living example. In John chapter 3 verse 2, it was testified about him that no man can do these things except the Lord be with him. We must never put a higher priority on our walking in the ministry above walking with God. Because no man can do these things except the Lord be with him. Furthermore, in John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So every effort put together in the work of the ministry amounts to zero without him. Peter testifying. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all them that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. His testimony was that of walking with God. Walking with God. John 8:29, my Father has not left me. He that sent me is always with me, because I do always the things that pleases him. John chapter 14 verse 10. Jesus went further to say, my Father in me, whom I walk with, he is the one that does the work. God called us to walk with him, but only assigned us to walk for him. He called us to walk with him and only assigned us to work for him. Ministry is an assignment. Our walk with God is the real calling. God called us first to know him so we can show him to the world. You cannot show who you do not know. And it is in walking with God that we get to know him. Concerning Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, Jesus went about preaching and showing. And showing, verse 1, he was showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. He was showing the God that he knew in the secret. Ministry is a call to relate with God in order for us to be able to reveal him to our world. Only those who have imbibed God can reflect God. And that's what happens in our walk with God. In our walk with God, we imbibe God so we can reflect him to the people around us. So ministry is essentially a call to reflect God, just as the moon reflects the sun. Ministry is a call to reflect God, just as the moon reflects the sun. Just as I said earlier, checking all through scriptures and now contemporary time, all great men called by God sustained impact by their continuous walk with God. It's my prayer this morning that all of us will change our focus appropriately to begin to walk with God in the name of Jesus. Now, if walking with God is as crucial, what are the platforms for developing deeper walk with God? Number one is continuous separation. Separation. Seclusion. All men of impact are seekers of solitary places and moments. They are men of deserts, men of wilderness, men of mountains, men of hills, men who are always hunting and panting after separation to be with God. A man's ministry can never have value in the public without having a time of separation with God. Real voices are made in quiet places. Real voices in ministry are made in quiet places. Before the voice of John the Baptist was heard, he was in the deserts. Luke chapter 1 verse 80. He was there in the deserts until his appointed time. Real public image is developed in secret places. No one ever become great in ministry without the practice of seclusion, of separation. Spending quality time with God on a daily basis, night and day, in the desert, night and day, in his room, seeking the face of God, getting connected with God so he can flow to people around him. Really, ministry is an outflow of the inflow of God into us. You cannot flow out to people what God has not flowed into you. Unfortunately, we get too much in a hurry to flow out to people instead of waiting for God to fill us up so we can flow out what he has filled us up with to the people around us. As I said earlier, if all you know is to walk with God, you don't know how to preach, you don't know how to do something else, anything you do makes impact on people. by reason of the flow of the grace of God in your life. Now, look at Moses, for instance. Moses was known as a man connected to Mount Horeb. His first encounter with God was at Mount Horeb. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord appeared unto Moses at Mount Horeb. Get on to chapter 34 from verses 1 to 6. God specifically demanded separation from him. One thing God demands from all of us is separation. God said to him, Moses, get ready. Come to the mountain. Come in the morning. Come up in the morning onto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me at the top of the mount. And look at the condition God gave. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout at that month, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. God wanted privacy with him. God will always take us into the secret place so we can make impact in the public places. I have never seen any man who made impact in the public who was not before a man in the secret place with God. God said, Moses, you come on here. Stay with me on this mountain. Let no man be there. Because of the impact I want to make in your life before you can make impact in the lives of people around you. Think about Elijah. He was a man synonymous to Mount Carmel. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. He called all the prophets to meet him at Mount Carmel. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 25, the same Carmel was repeated. Chapter 4, verse 25, he was always there. And when he has stayed on the mountain, coming down is coming down with great impact. No minister of the gospel ever sustained impact in ministry if he loses his walk with God. Think about John the Baptist, as I mentioned earlier. He was there in Luke chapter 1, verse 80. He was there on the mountain until the day, he was there in the desert until the day of his showing unto Israel. What is revealed to you at time of separation with God is what determines what you can show to the world around you. And we saw how Jesus also was known as a man of mountains, a man of deserts, a man of wilderness, a man of gardens, always longing to be in the secret place so he can return as a man of impact. Luke 21, 33, Jesus was there on Mount Olives. The same thing was repeated in chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus, as his tradition was, went to the Mount of Olives, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him there. A man of mountains. We have always referred to Luke chapter 5 verse 17, talking about how Jesus on a certain day came and was teaching, and the power of God was present to heal. But the previous verse, the Bible tells us that he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And on a certain day, the certain day was preceded by a prepared day, a day of seclusion. Jesus never missed impact in ministry because he was constantly connected with God. He had a regular schedule. At night, he would be with God. At daytime, he will minister to people. If you miss your night with God, you have lost your day among men. Separation. Separation. Paul the apostle separated himself in Arabia. Galatians chapter 1 verse 17. He left all the apostles in Jerusalem. By the time he returned, the difference was very clear. The difference was very clear. John the Beloved was there at the island of Patmos for the great impact he made. Every great man in ministry were men of seclusion. men who withdrew themselves from the public so they can return to be a voice in the public. If you don't want to lose your voice in ministry, withdraw yourself. Spend time with God on a daily basis at your appointed place where you meet with God. Every man of God or everyone in ministry should have a place where he meets with God on a regular basis. It may not be a mountain. It may not be a wilderness. It may be a room in your house. It may be a room in your office. It may be somewhere that you have agreed that that is where you may meet with God. And continuous impact will continue to be your experience in the precious name of Jesus. Number two platform for developing deeper walk with God is in His Word. His Word. Everything about God is contained in the Word of God. Therefore, dwelling in the Word is dwelling in God. Conversant with the Word is what gets you acquainted with God. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32b makes it very clear. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. The knowledge of God we possess determines our effect and continuous impact in ministry. The deeper we are in the Word, the stronger we are in effect in ministry. You cannot miss your impact in ministry when you make yourself a man of depth in the Word. Why is this so? Every time we study the Word and study books written about the Word, we keep imbibing the spirit of the authors. Every book you read has a spirit behind it, the spirit of the author. And that's why Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2 said, "The word entered into me when he spoke to me." Every time we are reading the book, the author is speaking to you. It's not limited to just preaching. Every time you read a book, the author is speaking to you. Every time you listen to a message, the speaker in the message is speaking to you. In the year 1995, I got impartation of the spirit of compassion into my life. I was in Sierra Leone. I went with the message of God's servant, our Father. And I lay down on the floor listening to that message in that hotel room. And from that day, I knew vividly that the spirit of compassion entered into me. As he spoke, I sensed and felt compassion in his language. And suddenly, that spirit entered into me. And the Lord said to me, "From today, anyone you pray for with compassion, they'll be answered." And that's why, whether in the secret or in the open, every time I'm praying for somebody or for congregation, I bother less about the words that I speak, but about the depth where it is coming from. The deeper you are in the Word, either in your study of the Bible or in anointed books that you read. Many years ago, I was listening or watching the video of God's servant Benson Idahosa way back in a foreign land. And as I listened to that, the spirit, I felt a vivid healing anointing that came upon me that day. The deeper we are in the Word, we are not studying the Word to look for what to preach, but to receive impartation. It is a platform by which we develop deeper relationship with God. Anyone speaking about God is helping you to deepen your relationship with God. Anyone speaking to you about God is helping to introduce you to God, that if you walk with Him, you will make greater impact. What am I saying to us this morning? Spend time in seclusion with God. Spend time in the Word of God. Many are busy running around from one place to another. Thank God for the teaching on focus. And at the end of the day, you get frustrated, worn out, making no impact. But I've seen men who stayed in the secret place with God, and when they come out, they are exhuming with the life of God. That will be you from now in the name of Jesus. I thought somebody said amen to that. Did you say a louder amen to that? Spending time in the Word of God. Number three, platform for developing deeper walk with God is spending time in prayer. And I'd like you to look at this with me, please. Whereas we know about God in the Word, we actually see God face to face in prayer. The Word tells us about God, but in prayer we meet face to face with God. Where did Moses get to see the face of God? In prayer and fasting. Where did Jesus hear the voice of God? While he was in prayer. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It came to pass that day, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. The heaven was open. And praying. The heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape, like as a dove upon him. And a voice came down from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In study, we become orators, but in prayer, we become oracles. This is the undoing of many ministries. They can teach, they can preach, they can make explanation, but they can make no impact. Why? Because they have not seen God face to face in prayer. Study will make an orator of you, but prayer will make an oracle of you. An oracle is a man of authority. An oracle is one who says it and it comes to pass. And actually, what we call impact is born out of an oracle speaking, an oracle appearing, an oracle walking, an oracle stepping into a place and the atmosphere has changed. I don't joke with my Saturdays preceding every Sunday. I spend my time not just anyhow. My prayer on Saturdays is not even just about the service. I prayed all the prayer concerning the service from Monday to Friday. My prayer on Saturday is a prayer of separation. It's a prayer of, Lord, walk through me. Lord, take any barrier out of my life. Lord, take any filthiness out of my mouth that won't let me perform and represent you the way I should represent you. So the kind of prayer I'm talking about is not just the prayer of, Lord, give me your power. Lord, give me your power. But a prayer of, Lord, here am I. If you can use anything, use me, Lord. Here am I. I am prepared for you, Lord. And I believe that was the kind of prayer that Jesus prayed, to prepare himself so that on that certain day, on the Sabbath day, he could make the impact that he made. It is in prayer that we see God face to face. In Exodus chapter 34, we saw what happened after Moses had prayed from verses 29 to 35. The fashion of his face was changed. Fire was coming out of his eyes. The people who insulted him before, they couldn't look at his face any longer because of the time he spent in prayer. We develop our walk with God in prayer. Every time you are praying to God, you are developing a deeper walk with him that will always result into great impact. Yesterday, God's servant was sharing with us or recalling some of the things that Dr. Kenneth Copeland had told him about working with Oral Roberts. That at that time, nobody talks to him. Always on his own. In prayer. In the study of the Word. But when he comes out, everything about him is speaking. I can tell you the reason why we lack impact on our altar today is because men are no longer given to prayer as a lifestyle in developing their walk with God. Today we take pride in our oratory speeches, how well we can speak. Today we take joy in the applause that people give to us. But I discovered that applause does not equal approval. People can clap you to hell while you are losing ground with God. Jesus was approved by many signs and wonders because of the time he continued to spend with God. Jesus will not compromise his time with God. When people put pressure on him, he will run to the wilderness away from them so he can have time with God. It is in prayer that God appears to us. Remember the statement of Job chapter 42 verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the hear, but now mine eye seeth thee. We hear about God in the word, but we see God in our prayer. It is in prayer that we are turning to oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. Exodus chapter 4 verse 12. God said to Moses, I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. Exodus chapter 3 verse 18. Chapter 5 verse 3. And chapter 7 verse 16. He said, the God of the Hebrews have appeared to us. And he finally said, the God of the Hebrews have sent me to you. It became an oracle that Pharaoh and his host could not resist. God's servant shared the story with us of how one day he went to a mountain to pray for 3 days. By the time the 3 days was over, physical energy could no longer sustain his body. So he used his buttock to come down from the mountain. And in his coming down, he said, the Lord said to him, I have touched your tongue today. From now, as you say it, you will see it. Such things don't happen when we are seated casually. It happens when we are in prayer before God. When we are in prayer before God. Tremendous impact takes place in developing our walk with God when we are in prayer. And of course, number four, we develop deeper walk with God through worship. Through worship. Now, whereas in prayer, we seek to meet with God, but in worship, God seeks to meet with us. In prayer, we run after God, but in worship, God runs after us. John 4, 24. The time is come and now is when those who worship, he said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in the spirit and in truth, and now the time has come when those who worship him, he will be seeking after them. Be seeking after them. Every time you are in worship, not just with words, but in your quietness, in your deep moment, in your heart being lifted before God, in your search to know him more and more, you find God coming close to you and enjoying deeper relationship with him. Now, quickly, what are the outcomes of our walking with God? Number one, walking with God brings you into relationship with him, thereby gaining access into the secrets of God. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, concerning Abraham, a friend of God, a man who walked with God. God said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Abraham, the friend of God. For I know him that he will keep to my words. His walk with God brought him into friendship with God. Number two, outcome of walking with God. Walking with God turns one to a voice among men. It turns one to a voice among men. We saw that clearly in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 3 verse 21 and 22. Again, Luke chapter 9 verse 35. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. You become a voice among men when you develop deeper walk with God. God is not looking for an orator. He's looking for a friend through whom he can reveal himself. Number three, by walking with God, you are turned into vessels of impact, vessel of exploit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, for we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of man. Number four, walking with God will turn you into a divine being, as it was in the case of Moses. He was God, he became God personified. Everything about him was reading God. Exodus 34, 29 to 35. And number five, walking with God brings about sanctification in your life, which is required for greater impact in ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, he said, he that purges himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, separated unto every good use of the master. So our sanctification determines our usefulness. But in walking with God, we are imbibing the nature of God. We are getting sanctified. You cannot look at the face of God and you will still succeed in looking at sin, because his eyes are purer than to behold evil. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. Remember, it was at the prayer altar, walking with God, that Isaiah became sanctified to become fit for his assignment. In Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 to 7. These are the things you enjoy by walking with God. Let me conclude by saying that today we have a lot of what people call burnout in ministry. And the reason they burn out is because they are not burning up. Walking with God gets you boisterous and spiritually buoyant every day. Every day is